Hey folks, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I used to record right here in my vehicle on my drive back from work as a high school instructional coach. But now with the coronavirus shutdown, I'm not driving to work anymore. I'm working from home. So instead of weekly podcasts, we're going daily podcasts. And as a professional development specialist, as an instructional coach who deals with all different content areas, all different grade levels, and as a teacher, author, presenter, speaker who travels all over the U.S. talking about PD, I'm trying to share bite-sized best practices as we're learning to adjust to this distance learning normal, which for most of us will probably be the duration of our school year, if not a little longer. So every day, new podcasts during the school days, Monday through Friday. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to leave a comment, subscribe, let people know. It helps people find the podcast here on your favorite podcasting app. If you want to talk to me, I don't pretend to have all the answers. I pretend to start the questions. So let's join in the conversation. Find me on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. Would love to chat further. Let's do that. And I have a website where I give all sorts of templates and resources and social stuff, anything I can do to help out. That's www.edrenalinerush.com, like educational adrenaline. Please check it out and let me know how I can help. I wrote a book a time ago called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. And those things are fun and scary at the same time. And it's okay to be both. And this time of distance learning can, for many of our students, be scary. So how do we make it fun? How do we make it safe? How do we make it a place where they still feel supported and know that they're being connected with their teachers who love them, who care about them, who want to do what's best for them, want to see what's best for them? And that actually gets us to the topic of today's conversation. Each week or each day, the podcast, about 10, 15 minutes long, depending on the length of the topic, and try to keep bite-sized actionable strategies. But I have to apologize to start today's podcast because I've been missing in action for like a week plus. As a Catholic school teacher, we have off for the end of Holy Week, so the Wednesday before Easter, and then Holy Thursday, Good Friday, of course the Easter weekend, and then the week after Easter as well. Normally that would be the NCEA conference in Baltimore this year, but it was canceled because of the COVID shutdowns. So I've been kind of out of pocket, just off the grid for almost like 10, almost 14 days. But we're back in action today, and during that time away, I noticed something that popped up on another social media channel that I feel warrants comment now. If you missed the kerfluffle, you can find it on the internet. And I do apologize if those people who have seen it feel like we're just beating a dead horse here. But it's content worth sharing because it was a pretty big thing that happened in the time that we were away. So if you ever watched a TV show previously on Glee, right? Or Here's What You Missed on Glee. Over the past couple weeks, there was a trend that sort of popped up on social media of a bunch of educators, well-meaning, at least at the start it was well-meaning, sharing photos of their senior years of high school. The idea being that we would show our support of the class of 2020 by showing awkward photos of ourselves in our high school yearbooks, particularly senior portraits, and say the equivalent of, oh my God, look how awkward I used to be. Don't worry, your better days are ahead of you two seniors. If I could survive that awkward thing, you can get through this. And in that, the sentiment is really kind and really self-aware and self-deprecating to say, don't sweat the small stuff, guys. You're going to be okay. I think that's, in some ways, really kind and really okay to let kids know, hey, you're going through it. I'm going through it. We've all been through a space where it was hard. So for the teachers who posted those things, at least at the outset, I see a real value to that. Unfortunately, very quickly, as many things can happen with social media, the tide began to turn and I felt the need to comment on it very publicly. Because I am a speaker, author, presenter, I have a sort of semi-public platform. I don't ever mean that I'm any smarter or any better than anybody else, but I do have more of a reach than many. Not most, but many. With like, you know, a few thousand people who follow me on Twitter, 10,000 people or whatever it is, like, when I say something, even if 1% of the people who I post to read it, well, if you have 1,000 people who follow you, 1%, you know, it's like, 10 people. If you have 10,000 people, well, it's like 100 people. 100 people are going to listen to what stupid stuff comes out of my mouth. I want to make sure it's somehow less stupid, if that's at all possible. So when I started to see these photos getting shared on the internet, at first I was like, I don't know, my spidey sense is tingling. Then I saw that there was a hashtag for it, hashtag class of 2020, or hashtag 2020 challenge, or hashtag senior pic challenge, or hashtag senior picture challenge. And then as somebody who used to work in social media and marketing before I got into teaching, that's where I started to get really upset. Because the way the internet works is when you talk about whatever you talk about on the internet, I like pizza, I like potatoes, I like professional golf, whatever you say on your social media feeds, immediately it finds things that are, if you liked X, you'll probably like Y and Z. And it's developing an algorithm, a search history, that's custom tailored to you based on the type of things that you think to share. So every time you log in, like, oh man, pizza's the worst. I can't stand pizza. Pizza, pizza, pizza. Every day you log back in, you're going to see a lot of posts where people are slamming on pizza or trying to sell you pizza, because that search term the internet doesn't know is a good or a bad from your brain. It's just, this person talks about pizza. Fine. Well, imagine you're a senior and you're posting, hey, I just lost my senior graduation. I'm a sad member of the class of 2020. When you use words like graduation and senior and class of 2020, as you log back in, now you're going to start to see all of these photos and all this content that is using similar conversational tags in the search algorithm. And what happened then for our students in the class of 2020 is we would call this thread jacking, where like a hijack, the thread that was normally devoted to the class of 2020, real life graduating seniors, started to be thread jacked into pretty much anybody and their sister who had pictures of themselves graduating from back in the day. Also, these photos for a time were supposed to be just the senior portrait challenge, but invariably people don't always have their senior portraits close at hand. Maybe it's at mom and dad's house, maybe it's in an old binder or an old box. So they started to share things like, oh, I don't have my senior portrait, but here I am at prom. Wasn't my haircut weird? Ha ha ha. Or, oops, I didn't have my senior portrait on hand, but whoa, here's my day on graduation. Oh my God, look how skinny I was. Blah, 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 blah. What that really is fishing for compliments, first and foremost, at least in many of these cases. And though it is good-natured amongst friends, what it winds up doing is that thread about hashtag class of 2020 that was supposed to be about the hashtag class of 2020, or those conversations that were using those search terms, because even if you're not using those hashtags, your algorithm is still pushing content that it believes is most relevant to you. What winds up happening is more and more students in their current class started to see more and more pictures of, wait for it, pictures of people going to events that these students no longer had access to. So stuff like their senior prom, gone. Their senior graduation, gone. Their senior year in sports or clubs or cheerleading activities, Allstate stuff, gone, 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 gone. And even on top of that, mixed in with these well-meaning photos of the senior portrait challenge, our students of today stopped seeing a conversation that was about their loss. And it started to be like a nostalgia moment where other people were talking about the good times that they had had. Now, individually, I don't believe that everyone who was doing it for the wrong reasons. I think most of it came from a place of good intentions and feeling a little stir crazy in a time where you feel like you can't control anything. Let me share a doofy old photo of me. Fine, I get it. The problem is our actions have consequences on social, and when we push things out as educators or as adults, we need to be aware of who's seeing it and how. Now, some of the pushback said, oh, well, these kids can't see it. They're not on Facebook. What's the big deal? To that, I would say, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? Just because you're posting it on Facebook and they can't see it, if your kids were saying things about you, let's say on TikTok or Snapchat, and they set those spaces up explicitly for the purpose of celebrating the things that were your loss, how would you feel? Like, it's called tact, it's called empathy. And then, so I felt compelled to have a conversation on Twitter, and I said, look, y'all, I don't know who needs to hear this, but memo to teachers who are posting photos of their own graduations to a graduating class who just lost theirs. Please stop. It's the equivalent of going out to lunch and a homeless person comes up and asks you for food. And you say, ah, you know, that reminds me. I have a great picture of a meal I ate yesterday. And you show that to the person rather than helping them eat. That's called rubbing it in. And it's kind of a jerk move. The moment wasn't supposed to be about you. It was a moment for grace, a moment for kindness, a moment for humility. And, you know, I tagged my tweet, you know, thank you for coming to my TED Talk, right? That's what people say when they're saying a thing that they believe to be self-evident, but they're also saying it very sarcastically. To use a quote from Flannery O'Connor, she says, I would be often told that I should bite my tongue, but it's hard to bite your tongue when it's firmly planted in your cheek. That's the moment here, right? Like, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Don't share pictures of your stuff. Some folks, understandably, we're upset. We're like, oh, that's not the same thing. People who are hungry are really hungry. It's not the same as losing a graduation versus being permanently homeless. I get it. It's called hyperbole. It was done on purpose. It was a rhetorical strategy to prove an extreme point. Lacking empathy is lacking empathy. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. Some people said, this is mean. You know, you're like saying, what, I can't have a vacation because other people can't have vacations. I can't have a nice house because other people are poor. I can't have a wedding because I have friends who are divorced. I'm like, no, I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is I'm asking you to tactfully use your adult brain to step back for a second and say, given these circumstances, maybe now is not the best time to roll this out. When I pushed out the first tweet on Twitter, it gained a bunch of traction. So I wanted to use today's podcast to kind of catch everybody up to speed about where my headspace is. If this sounds like it's offensive to you, you probably don't want to follow this podcast because this is the way that I think about teaching. I don't like to teacher blame or teacher shame. I think that most of us, especially those who listen to podcasts about how to get better at teaching, genuinely are doing the very best that they can. But sometimes we have blind spots, and I'm going to call it out. I have to. As a public figure or a semi-public figure, as a professional, and just as a person of who I believe to be like trying to do what's best for kids, I didn't think it was right. I said, you know, if you had a wedding and it had to get canceled because at the last minute, the woman left you at the altar, man. Like your friend Bob says, I'm just having a really tough day today. My wife left me at the altar. I don't know what to do to pick up the pieces. Sad face. You know what won't make Bob feel better? You saying, hey, I'm so sorry that happened, Bob. Do you want to see pictures of my wedding? Would that make it better? That won't make it better. That is in no way going to make Bob feel like he's somehow saved that which he's just lost. We have to allow students a time to grieve, a time to mourn. And they're kids. They're already predisposed to things like anxiety and depression. And if you take things that are supposed to be theirs and say, buck up, buttercup, could be worse. What you're saying to them is that their grief and their trauma is not valuable and not real. And that's a jerk move. And if you use this as a moment to hijack it because you and the rest of your friends want to get up on the internet and say, oh yeah, remember the good old days, you have text messages. Text your friends in a place where you can't have people see it. To anybody who would say, well, but you know, they can learn. They have to learn how to be tough. They have to learn how to be stronger. Fine. They can always turn it away. You know, they don't have to look at it. Yeah, but if we have the ability to make the world better or worse, and we choose worse, like I said, that's a jerk move to the point where news stations, news outlets are posting things that says, hey, y'all, for personal safety reasons, please don't share images of yourself from high school with any details that could help people find out your maiden name or the high school you went to, because then they can hack into your passwords. It shouldn't take something that's so myopic and so small for us to stop doing things that are not in the best interest of them, our kids, our students. The purpose of our job is to be the role model, to be the adult in the room. And I know it's hard, and I know it comes from a place of, well, I just want them to know that I'm thinking of them, thinking, trying to help them. Awesome. There are a million ways you can help them and reach out to them that does not involve putting yourself over at the expense of their loss. And things like sharing a video message. Hey guys, it's Mr. Meehan. I'm just thinking of you today. Just want to let you know. Or hey guys, I can make a phone call to every room, and if I don't feel comfortable making phone calls individually, I can send a Voxer or a Google Voice, where you never know my real number, but I message you all out and say, hey, I'm here for you if you need it. That's cool. You could do that. You can set up a group chat on Zoom and say, hey, dial in. Just want to hold office hours? Talk about your favorite episode of Pretty Little Liars. Whatever. You can do all of those things. What I do not want to see is teachers feeling like they are helpless. We're not. We just have to think differently. So again, I encourage you to keep being empathetic, keep being mindful, keep being aware of tact and tone and time, because for our students, this is all new. And we're making it up as we go, but we want to make sure that they feel safe and supported from people who are supposed to be ports in a storm in a time that's otherwise crazy. Yes, we're entitled to make our mistakes. Yes, we're entitled to learn from it, but we do want to make sure that our students, through the whole process, don't lose faith in the people who are supposed to be there as their biggest advocates. For some of them, we might be the only advocates they have. So that's it for the day. Thanks again. I appreciate it. God bless you guys. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay strong. Message me, and we'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks again.